So one bocha asked that we should continue the thread of the what we were talking about last time. So I got myself the tape to find out what it was we were talking about last time. But it was stuck in Nagea, but I don't really know what the logical way would be of continuing that. If you remember, we talked about Rashi's Shitta over here. The Nagea, Benigut, the Mitzudas, Re'ei Chaim, Im Isha, Shohafta, the Indian of Umnas. And you remember we discussed, or maybe don't remember, but we discussed the issue of the Mechaber and the Bihalocha, the Mechaber and Achkach Yelech La'asokov, the Milus of Kol Toiro She'enim HaMelocha Seifer B'Teila, and we saw the Bihalocha about the Yechidim. I don't know whether you recall, but it ended up on a pro-Koilel note. That was the Maskana. No, because the Maskana was pretty clear, because we analyzed a little bit the economic situation today, and we found that to take make melachtoi arai v'tarosa keva in today's marketplace, it's possibly a very, very problematic thing. The way the economy works very, very differently than it did at the time when these klolim were formulated. On the other hand, we found that the situation in Klal Yisrael today is such that a person who devotes his life to learning is not really in the danger which the Mechaber threatens, that Kol Toiro She'enim HaMelocha Seifer B'Teila V'Gereres Oven. Like the Bihalocha says over there, if you have somebody, for example, who's Mefanes here, is willing to be Mefanes here, so then you don't have that problem. And today, the way Klal Yisrael is set up, that the Koilel system has become established and people take it as a matter of course. So you look around and you see what's going on, so we have to assume that people who are makdish their lives to learning aren't gazlon, they're not ganovim, they're not nichlal in this yisoid which the Mechaber says that kol toiro she'enim HaMelocha Seifer B'Teila V'Gereres Oven. Now it's on both halves of the equation, changes have taken place, very, very profound changes have taken place, which make the shikul hadas a much more problematic one. I mean, if there was a time when a person might readily have said, well, okay, you could do worse than leading your life according to the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens, and so I'll be that ye to Achakach Yelech La'asokov and Kol Toiro She'enim HaMelocha Seifer B'Teila V'Gereres Oven, and that's what I'm going to be. So today, mitzad kama v'kama matzovim, the shikul is a much more a serious one. It could very well be that a person who is boicher in that miktsoya, in other words, he says, okay, I'm going to be the fellow who's yelech la'asokov after I've been kaveit in the Torah in the morning, let's say. He's really being nichnas in a very, very real sense into a matzav in which perhaps he won't be able to make terosa ikar melachta arai. And he's older in several decades down the road, perhaps, to look down back at his life and to ask himself, well, is this really the way I should have spent my life? In other words, given the koichos, talents, abilities which the Rebbein Shem gave me, did I use them in the best possible way? And that's really a serious question to answer. We spend a lot of time when we have to buy a used car. We buy the consumer guide and we figure out exactly its miles and its chesroinus. Sometimes we spend less time on deciding how to run our lives, which isn't terribly logical. You know, we make a quasi-flippant statement, okay, well, it's nish for me, like this, it's not for me, like I'm not mesugel for this. Says who? Maybe you are. Maybe there's something called siyata d'shmaya. Maybe there's a Nachshon ben Aminodov, the kind of mahalach, that if you jump up to your tzava, so things go better. People find talents which they never suspected. story, it's worth telling. I have a close friend in New York. We learned Bechavusa for a few years in Lakewood. And he's very much in the chinuch field now. He's a menahel of one of the very large yeshivas, yeshiv ketanas, I should say, in New York. Once in a while, when Bachem came and evinced an interest in going into chinuch, for example, but weren't sure whether they had the tchunas, whether they were able, whether they, you know, were just built for that. So how do you find that out? You know, you have to make decisions, and those decisions, sometimes you make a decision now, and that's a decision which binds you for many years. So how do you find out? So a number of times, I sent Bochum to this friend of mine to meet with him, because that is very much his field. He keeps on interviewing people, hires them as rabbis and so on. And so he has a very good feel for who's good in the field and who's not good in the field. And I asked him, look, why don't you sit down with this Bochum and ask yourself in 5 years' time if he would... He's sitting over there applying for a job. Would I take him? Wouldn't I take him? So he's always been very, very helpful. And really, every time that he has advised me, I found it very, very accurate. So he told me once a remarkable story. He said a fellow came into him, and he says, I want to go into chinuch. I want to teach. That's what I want to make of my life. So he interviewed him, and he found him to be completely and irredeemably hopeless. Maybe even let him go into a class for a while and talk to some kids. Although it was completely without any swagger. So he told him, look, it's a nishfa dir. I don't know what else he told him. I guess he told him, look, why don't you go out and find yourself a job and become a Torah? This is not for you. It's not the kid's fault that you want to be a mechanech. I said, so that's what he told the boy, and he sort of led him to the door, and shalom. So the person said to him, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I am going to go into chinuch. And what's more, you're going to hire me. So you come to an impasse, so what do you do? Anyway, to cut a long story short, he told him like this, listen, my friend. Fine, let's see. I want you to come for 6 months. I want you to come to school. And I'm going to put you into classes, and you're going to observe how a rabbi functions. And you're not going to open your mouth for 6 months. Let's get together after those 6 months, and we'll talk again. It's to cut a long story short, this fellow is now one of his ikker and most mutzlatikim mechanchim in that yeshiva. I don't know whether he's still there. At the time when he told me the story, he was still there a few years ago. So what is that story? What does that story show? The story shows that it's very, very hard to know. And it's very, very careless in a way to assume that just on a superficial kind of an assessment, you make such wide-ranging decisions. I read once somewhere about a dentist who was, you know, getting on middle age. He was getting towards the, I guess, perhaps the peak of his career. Perhaps he was already on a downward slope. And he said he's mad. He's mad as anything. He said, what business did a 18-year-old schnips have to decide that he was going to be a dentist for the rest of his life, right? Who made the decision? I mean, he meant himself, right? When did he make the decision? At 18, he said, all right, I'm going to go to pre-dent, whatever it was, right? And that set him on his life's course. And so this little nincompoop who didn't know anything about life, didn't know anything about anything, decided that this mature person is going to spend his life creeping around people's cavities, right? So what business did he have to make such a hachlata? He perhaps would have wanted to be a musician, perhaps he would have wanted to be an artist, perhaps he would have wanted to be a writer. So the decisions are mishunitika decisions when you come down to it. And it just is not so that the way things appear initially, that is in fact the way things are going to work out. Perhaps we all need this six-month period of not opening our mouth and submitting ourselves to rigorous training, rigorous teaching, to find out what we can do. Taking from my own experience, I personally never, when a bocher comes to me and asks, do I think he'll make it in Chinuch or whether he won't make it in Chinuch, I never allow myself a judgment. And the reason for that is that I had the same experience. I may have mentioned to one or two of you because it's a story which bears telling. My own experience. I don't wonder whether there's any aspect of Lashon Hara involved in it, but I really don't think so. When I was a youngster, when I was probably your age, something along those lines, Rav Moshe Schwartz, the Mashgiach in Gateshead, where I was learning, he came to me and he said, look, Moshe, what are you planning to do with your life? What would you like to be? So I told him I'd like to go into some form of chinuch, of teaching. So I remember very distinctly, he put his arm around my shoulder and he says, you're never going to make it. He says, go out, learn yourself a trade, learn something decent, and you'll have a panasa. But forget about chinuch. Why did he say that? Because when I was your age, I was very, very, very shy, I couldn't say a straight sentence. Talked very unclearly, I stuttered a little bit. Not that I had a physical stutter, but I just couldn't talk to people. I was very shy. And just couldn't get across to anybody. And he judged my abilities on the basis of what seemed to be at the time. And he made that hachlota in perfectly good faith. I didn't listen to him because I knew that inside me, I suspected, or I felt that I did have the ability, and that, you know, my shyness and whatever it was would leave me once I felt in control of a situation. You know, as if I would ever stand in front of a class, I would be able to speak, and I would be able to make myself understood. And the fact is that I was right. But you see, it's very, very hard to make such a judgment. Certainly difficult to make such a judgment for somebody on the outside. It's difficult to make such a judgment for somebody on the inside. See, our willingness, the willingness of our generation to make such decisions on really what I believe to be inadequate data, I think derives from an unwillingness to be disciplined about things. I mean, this famous 6 months. That's tough. We don't want to do that. In other words, you feel a lot of times, you hear from people in the chinuch field, also bears repeating, you hear from people in the chinuch field, they have tiredness to yeshiva guys. Yeshiva bracha, all right, so he goes and he's learned many years in yeshiva, and then he's come to the college for a few years, now he goes out. So he wants to go straight to the top. Yeah, nothing but the principal of the biggest school will do. Right? And they tired that There's a hadrada, you've got to learn things. Not everybody who's learned in a yeshiva for X number of years is going to make a good menahel. There are skills which are required, there are insights which you have to have, there's poshut, the everyday nitty-gritty of what is required, both in teaching and in administration of a school, which needs to be learned. But we like to go straight to the top. We don't like to have the years of apprenticeship. We don't like to go through the lean periods. We want to go straight to the more rewarding ones. And perhaps when we catch ourselves saying, well, this is not for me, right? I don't have that ability. I just can't see myself doing it. Maybe that's just saying, well, I don't have the discipline or the seriousness about my life to be willing to take those steps, find the help, find the guidance, find the instruction which I need in order to bring out those kaifas within me which may be there later. So nothing's very poshut in this area. Only one thing I believe is poshut, and that is a statement that I'm willing to make, is that it seems to me from what I observe that these decisions are made too lightly. In other words, the decision not, let's say, to go in... When I say chinuch over here, I mean it as in a wider frame of reference than the word itself implies. I don't mean specifically the act of going into a classroom and teaching. I mean in related fields also, in the many, many direct ways in which Klal Yisrael can be helped and needs to be helped. I think that the decision not to do that is often taken too lightly because the alternatives appear too acceptable. Now, they are acceptable in theory, often not in practice. The Nisyonos out there are very, 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 very strong in many, many areas. So are they in the chinuch field. But it's not a decision that should be made lightly. Really be bothered. And again, you don't make such decisions on the basis of a chazal. For example, you must examine the framework within which that chazal was said. That's what we noted last time. But the Mechaber brings the chazal that kol toiro she'eni mamelocha soifa b'teila v'goyreras ovein continues by saying, Elo, what should he do? He should go to work as long as he realizes that his melocha is ara and his toiro is keva. Nu, can that be done? Is that the norm? And if it's not, then that particular chazal becomes inappropriate, at least to the extent that the Mechaber quotes it. So, that's something to think about. But now, Kailas goes on, and he says in Mishnah Dekhi Yisrael, and that's the other half of this coin, Pasuk Yud, Perek Tes. He says, Koila shatimtso yodcho la'asos b'choychacho asay. So whatever comes your way, do it enthusiastically. Ki ein ma'aseh v'cheshbon v'da'as v'chochmo b'sh'oil asha ato hoylech shaman. Now that's a really, really big limit, and in the context in which we are talking, it's an extremely important limit. Now, many times, a person feels ambivalent about the decisions that he's made. He doesn't really feel good about them. And as a consequence of that, he is lackadaisical, is lethargic about doing what he's doing. And that's a terrible thing, because one thing is poshut, that if the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us koichos, we have to use them to the fullest extent. And to do things in a lethargic, unenthusiastic, inefficient, lazy, undisciplined kind of way, that is the biggest really evil in a way that a person can do. Notice that Soloveitchik writes in the place that in the Ila we say that this twice repeated Yisoid Leman Nechtal Me Oishik Yodenu, that our resolutions on Yom Kippur night are that we shouldn't be gazlonim, right? Leman Nechtal Me Oishik Yodenu. We ask Hashem to be mechapa on our avonos and so forth, and to try and be mechazek us in our lives to be Elch Yidin. Leman Nechtal Me Oishik Yodenu. We shouldn't be ganov. That doesn't mean safe crackers, right? They will go and break into people's safes, or nowadays you do it by computer, right? That's not the nekuda. The nekuda is to be a gazlan by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ken what the Gemara says. The Shem Oretz of Loya. How's it go? Oretz Nesach Shemai Shon. The Shem Oretz Nesach Lifnei Odom. Kan Lifnei Brocha. Kan Lacha Brocha. Right? It says that the world is not just available to us. It's not the pshat is that the Ribbono Shel Olam was mafkeh his world and said, come on, here, it's yours for the taking. That's not the emes. It's ours for the taking, but with a bracha, which means that I've got to be zeicher. I've got to take the things within the spirit which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to us. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gives me koiches, gives me skills, gives me things that I can do. So to be lackadaisical about it, to be undisciplined about it, not to use my koiches, that's a terrible chet. If you want to have in a nutshell, somebody asks you, if you ask yourself, how does a youth supposed to live? What should be his ambition? Well, of course, there are millions of ways you could answer that question. It's not a very clearly put question. But one of the ways that it can be answered, I think, that each one of us, when we sit down and we ask ourselves, what kind of life should we live? I think that one answer, which is a very good answer, I think, a very adequate answer in a way, ought to be, I'd like, after 120 years or whatever it is, the amount of time which the Ribbono Shel Olam grants me to live, I would like, after those 120 years, after that allotted time, to be able to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam in front of the Bezen Shel Malach and say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have used my life to its fullest. Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomer. Chazal say he came with every one of his days. And we can expand that by saying not only with every one of his days, which is a quantitative term, but with every one of his koichos, which is a qualitative term. I have used the abilities which you gave me to their fullest. Because that's pashut, that if the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us koichos, so he didn't give them to us not to use them, he gave them to us to use. Now, he didn't give them to us to use them in an inappropriate way, but he gave them to us to use them in an appropriate way. Chochma is to find that outlet and to make sure that I use it. Mentioned before the Chazal, Novos, Ha-Yisraelim, you mentioned recently? Novos, the man who had the vineyard, which Achav wanted so badly, right? And he killed him for it. So why was he chayv mises, the Chazal said? Because he had a beautiful voice. And he used to sing for the people in the Beis HaMikdash, you remember? And one year he couldn't be bothered to go. And so he was chayv mises. Kaved es Hashem mehoincha, mimashecha namcha. The Ribbono Shel Olam was choinen him with a chush for music. Go ahead and use it. Must be some way in which your neshama needs that mode of expression for yourself, for others. The oilam of music is a mishunadika, oilam of beauty, of hergish, can touch a person very deeply. Go ahead, use it. If the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to you, you have to use it, to make use of it. And ditto for all the other koichos. Now, if a person feels ambivalent about what he's doing, find a moshul in Bochur goes to college here in Yeshiva. So, it's very rarely a absolutely happy decision. And in a way, it shouldn't be. Right? Now, as the Bochur always feels, well, maybe it's the wrong thing to do. Maybe I shouldn't really be doing it. Maybe I'm, it's a cop-out. Maybe I'm choosing the easy way, which is further from the right path, than a harder way, which would be closer to the Emes. And these are machshavas which constantly are matrid him. That's okay. The fact that a decision was made does not in and of itself guarantee that it was the right decision. So it's okay to be bothered. In fact, a person should be bothered constantly. Am I doing the right thing? If it's right, continue. If it's wrong, stop. The fact that it was right last year doesn't necessarily make it right this year. These are okay situations. But now, what does that bring about in the person? It brings about that now he doesn't do his homework. He goes, he doesn't feel good about it anyway. So, and he can't be, and he doesn't want to study, and he really should be learning. And so he doesn't do his work. So then what happens? So what happens is that comes midterms, comes finals. So now suddenly he goes berserk, right? He hasn't done any of the work, he's got 500 pages to read, and he doesn't know anything. So then everything goes overboard. No more learning, no more davening, no more this, no more that, and he sits for 5 weeks, whatever it is, and does his work. Yeah? On his chavrusa's plates, on his own plates. In other words, he messes up his life very, very measurably. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to function. And I think that that is bichlal, what Koheles is teaching over here. Whatever you do, you have to do it b'koychacha. Kol ma she'ata oseh b'koychacha oseh. If it's the wrong thing to do, then don't do it. If currently it's the right thing, then give it what it needs. Give it your enthusiasm, give it your interest, give it your koyach. If you don't, you're doing two bad things. One, you're allowing your abilities and your koychos to atrophy. Because if you don't use them, they do atrophy. And second of all, in the long run, you're going to lose. Doesn't make sense. Work piles up, obligations pile up, and in the end, you're going to have to do it anyway. And the nafkumina will be that if you would do it right the first time, you are the bialim, and you can do it in such a way that it's a totally good way to do it. If you let it ride and then allow it to overpower you, the work becomes the bialim, and you get messed up, and everybody else gets messed up with you once the gate mission. Nachamot. Not every decision that was once taken is necessarily correct. I do not suggest that once a person has made a decision that this is the right thing to do, he should stick to that decision under all conceivable circumstances. That's not true. It's not true for a number of reasons. First of all, because it may have been the wrong decision, very simply. There are lots of negiyasim, there are lots of pressures, and it may quite simply have been the wrong decision. So it's worth checking. Reason number one. Reason number two, it may very well have been the right decision for Mr. X. It may very well be the wrong decision for Mr. X plus a year. It's changed. If we were to assume that another year in yeshiva doesn't change us, then we're in really bad shape, right? Because we are here on the assumption that we do get changed, that we do grow a little bit in our ruchnius and become more bnei Torah, become a little closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, that's what we're in business for, right? So what may have been an absolutely right decision for this person in the matzav in which he was at that particular time when the decision was made, it's perfectly possible that now he has changed sufficiently for it to have become a wrong decision. Perhaps now he's a stronger person, a more mature person, a more kaddishdicker person. And whatever kedusha rattles around inside him may be more nifkam by whatever he's exposing himself to.